I can remember one morning at the camp a few weeks ago. I didn't have a very good night of sleep, and my back was hurting. And so I got up early and went to the chapel and was praying to the Lord and read the scripture. And the passage I was reading from was Joshua chapter 1. And I'm not going to quiz the young people from Joshua today. Don't worry about that. But as I read through Joshua chapter 1, the Lord really came down and pressed upon my heart verses 12 through 18 of Joshua chapter 1. And I went home and studied that passage more in-depthly and feel that the Lord really had laid a message on my heart to preach to the people of God tonight. So this is all part of the fruit of camp, if you will. As I waited on the Lord there, the Lord came down in a special way to my own heart. And I trust that as we consider the word of the Lord from Joshua chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, that it'll bless your heart. Before we read that passage, let's all pray. Father, we thank Thee for meeting with us thus far in the service, and how we ask Thee, Lord, now for a special sense of Thy presence as we hear Thy word preached and as it's read, that we might know Christ is in the midst, that He is here to bless us as Thy blood-bought people. We thank You, Father, for those here tonight, for God's people who have a desire to see Christ and to worship Christ. And I ask Thee, Father, that You will feed them tonight the bread of life, that they might not go away hungry, but that they might go away full of the Lord and nourished in the things of God. So bless us, Lord, and help us to glorify Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as He hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as He was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Amen. Well, following the conquest of Canaan, the Israelite tribes were allotted tribal territories. Moses allotted territories on land east of the Jordan to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and a portion of Manasseh, which they had requested. We read in Numbers 32, verse 5, Wherefore, said they, that is the three tribes, If we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. We read in Joshua chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, that the Lord commanded the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and a portion of Manasseh to go over the Jordan River and help the remaining tribes secure their allotted territories by driving out the inhabitants of the land. The three tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, were commanded by God to go and help their brethren enter into their rest in the land. I believe the message for them is the same message for us today. And the title of my message is simply, Brethren Helping Brethren Rest in Christ. Brethren helping brethren rest in Christ. I would like to answer the question, how do we help brethren rest in Christ? The first way is by reminding our brethren of their position in Christ, their standing in Christ. We read in verse 13 of Joshua chapter 1. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh were in possession of their allotted territories before the other tribes. They had already entered into and enjoyed their rest. They were getting settled and established in their new land and borders. Before they were too cozy and comfortable in their land, the Lord reminded them of their duty and responsibility to their brethren. There was a danger and temptation for Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, and that was to neglect their brethren, to not help them, to say to themselves, well, we have our rest, we have our blessing. The other tribes, let them enter into their rest themselves. That was a temptation. They enjoyed rest in the land, but their brethren did not. What an illustration of how brethren can help brethren enter into their rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. An important aspect of our sanctification as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is knowing who we are in Christ and what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. When we understand our standing and our position in Christ, we will grow in our assurance and confidence in the Lord, and we will be able to help others enter into their rest in Christ. How can we expect to help our brethren rest in the Lord Jesus Christ if we are not resting in Christ? We have to ask ourselves an important question. What does it mean to rest in Christ? We read in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Resting in Christ means ceasing from our own good works in order to be acceptable before God, and trusting in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way for salvation. Apostle Paul had to remind those in the church in the book of Hebrews this very important message. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10, for he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. See, resting in Christ is knowing who we are in Christ. Christ's death and resurrection, his triumph over Satan and death, provides justification for believers before God. His righteousness becomes ours, and his death becomes an offering to God in our place to pay for all of our sins. Thus, justification is by faith alone, not through good deeds, and is a gift from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul continues to remind believers in the Lord of their rest. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, we read, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Then he continues to encourage the brethren in the church in Rome to think upon their rest. Think upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for their souls. In Romans chapter 3, verses 22 through 25, listen to these words. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be our propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Know how we need to remind ourselves, brethren, of these things. Because when we don't, put these things before us and we don't remind ourselves of these things, we don't rest in the Lord. We become restless. We become anxious in spirit. And how can we help brethren rest in Christ if we don't know and enjoy rest in Christ ourselves? The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh illustrate for us brethren helping brethren rest in Christ. I thought it was a very appropriate picture here of here are these brethren that have already enjoyed their rest in what the Lord has given to them. Now they are called by the Lord to go help their brethren enjoy their rest in the Lord. There are times when believers lack assurance, are full of doubts, and sink into spiritual depression. I've been there. I know what it's like to go through those times where you feel all alone, or you have questions, when you begin to doubt. And it's in those dark times when brethren can come alongside the struggling brother or sister and help and comfort them by reminding them of their rest in Christ, by reminding them of their standing and position in the Lord. I have to say, so many times in my walk with the Lord, when I felt this way, a brother has come and said a word of encouragement or exhortation to me and has reminded me of my position and standing in Christ. And then those fears, those doubts, those struggles that I wrestled with seem to just go away. Because my eyes are now on Christ and what He's done for me, what He's accomplished for me. And that's my rest. That's my peace. That's my joy. And we as brethren have that opportunity to help other brethren enter into that rest when they struggle, when they go through doubts, when the devil comes and tempts them. Are we willing to go to our brethren and remind them of their position and standing in Christ? That's what it is to help brothers and sisters rest in the Lord. To try to help them get their eyes off of themselves and off of the situation. It's hard to because we're human beings. We have a tendency to lock into those things which happen to us. Those things that are negative, those things that are bad in our life. We tend to focus on those things. We get our eyes off of our position, our standing in Christ. But we need to rest in the Lord. And the brethren are raised up by the Lord Jesus Christ to help us in that resting. To help us in knowing that Christ has paid for it all. He has accomplished all for us at the cross. And everyone needs that. Pastors are not exempt. We need to be encouraged. We need to be reminded from the brethren of the great standing that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you're wrestling with those doubts and those fears and those struggles and those questions. Well, the message tonight is for you and for me that the Lord is our rest. The Lord is the one who we are to focus on. It's our position, our standing. And that can never change. See, our feelings change and our circumstances change. But our position in Christ never changes. It never affects. It never can be taken from us how God views us in Christ. Regardless of how we feel. Regardless of what happens. We are in Christ. And that's our position. We are the sons of the living God. Joint heirs with the Lord. Therefore, if we are not resting in Christ and living in the reality of our position in Christ, how can we effectively minister to those who are fighting to enter into their rest in Christ? I think this is a wonderful picture here in the Old Testament of how brethren, these 2.5 tribes, had entered into their rest. And the Lord wants them now to go and help the other brethren enter into their rest. And we need each other, brethren, in this church. We need to be reminded of our position and standing in the Lord. Are you resting in Christ? Maybe you're here today and you're lost and still in your sins. And your life is restless and confused. Well, look to Christ. He washes the vilest sinner in His precious blood and makes them clean. So the first way we can help our brethren rest in Christ is by knowing our position in Christ. That never changes. The second way is by fighting alongside our brethren. Fighting alongside our brethren. We read in Joshua chapter 1 verse 14. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed. all the mighty men of valor and help them. Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh enjoyed rest, but they were commanded by God to fight alongside of their brethren. In other words, rest doesn't mean inactivity. Rest doesn't mean we just sit around and do nothing. No. These 2.5 tribes were called by the Lord to go and help their brethren enter into their rest. There were giants and enemies in the land that needed to be defeated and destroyed. Final victory required total effort. It called for great sacrifice from all the tribes, especially from Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. You noticed in verse 14, we read about the wives, the little ones, and the cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side, Jordan. The Lord commanded the men to leave their wives, children, and livelihoods behind and go and fight alongside their brethren. What a test of faith. What an act of sacrifice. Who would look after their families? Who would provide for them and protect them? The men had to trust in the Lord and believe that the Lord would be the shepherd and defender of their families while they were away at war. So we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the reasonable service for Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh was to cross the Jordan and fight alongside their brethren. The Lord would take care of His people. Just as the tribes faced clear and present dangers in removing the inhabitants from the land, so too we face obstacles and barriers to our rest in Christ. There are giants and enemies in the land, in our lives. We fight against the obstacle of our own unbelief, that ugly force within us that causes so much doubt, so much frustration in our lives. There are times when we don't believe the promises of Christ. We don't live by faith. Our faith falters and wavers, and we find the simplest and easiest spiritual exercises too hard to do. We can relate to the words in Mark chapter 9, verse 24. With tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We read in Hebrews 4, verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. I thought it was interesting, that verse says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. It sounds like an oxymoron. How can you labor to enter into the rest? But that's the very thing that we're doing, brethren, when we're resting in the Lord. We're laboring to rest in the Lord. We're laboring to get our eyes on Christ, because they're giants, they're enemies in our life that oppose us, that are against us. Unbelief resists and opposes us. It attacks our rest in Christ. If you've walked with the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. It's a constant battle. It's a constant giant in our life. Unbelief. And how we need, at times, our brethren to come alongside of us, aside of us, and encourage us and to strengthen us and to fight alongside of us and say, Lord, brother, you're not alone in this. Sister, you're not alone in this. We're going to fight in the strength and spirit of the Lord. We're going to defeat these giants. We're going to defeat these enemies that attack our rest in Christ. This unbelief. We also fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. Not only is that giant within us, but there are forces from outside that attack us and try to defeat us in resting in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we read, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle. There's an intense conflict, an intense battle going on here. And that battle is against the devil, against his demons, against the spiritual wickedness in high places of this world. It's real, it's true, and we feel it. And when the brother or sister, when the brethren come alongside of us and encourage us in the things of the Lord, it helps us fight against these giants, fight against these enemies of our souls. Unbelief and spiritual wickedness are two giants we constantly fight against in the Christian life. Imagine if you entered into the battle alone with no support, no brethren fighting by your side. Defeat would be certain. You wouldn't have a chance. You couldn't fight against such enemies by yourself. You need help. You need support. You need encouragement. There's strength in numbers. And Christ does not leave His people alone to be defeated. He helps us. He sends brethren to support us. One of the things that really blessed my heart when I studied for this message was the list of David's mighty men in 2 Samuel 23. And I always wanted to preach a message on that, and maybe one of these days I will. But I wanted to read this passage to you because it was so encouraging to me, and it really shows me that the encouragement, what brethren can do for brethren in the fight against these enemies of unbelief and spiritual wickedness. And just listen to the words in 2 Samuel 23, verses 8 through 23. It is a lengthy passage, but I think it'll bless your heart. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Oahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him, only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. He lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them, and had the name among three. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore, he was their captain, howbeit he attained not unto the first three. And there's one more figure here that we learn about. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. But he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. And David set him over his guard. What a company David had here. What support, what strength David had in these great mighty men of God. And that goes to show us that brethren fighting alongside brethren help each other in this warfare, in this battle. And specifically in the book of Joshua, it's to help us rest in Christ, to enjoy Christ, to know our position in Christ. And one of the ways that we do is by brethren coming alongside and fighting with us and helping us in this spiritual conflict and warfare. So don't look down on the brethren, but thank the Lord for the brethren, for those who the Lord has raised up in your life to show you the importance of your standing in Christ and those who come alongside of you and fight with you and for you in the spiritual battles that we all face. The third way we can help brethren rest in Christ is simply by encouraging them. How encouraging it must have been for the tribes of Israel when they saw the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossing the Jordan with their armies and standing united with their brethren. Can you picture this in your mind, in your mind's eye? Can you imagine the sight here? These 2.5 tribes coming with all these armed men. Truly, it was one of the greatest moments in the history of Israel. All the tribes were together. They were united and preparing to fight in the name of Jehovah. What an encouraging picture. How this picture should encourage us as the children of God to rest in Christ and to come alongside one another and fight the good fight of faith. We read in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Encouragement goes a long way in our Christian life. Do you encourage or discourage those that are around you? Is your tendency to tear down and criticize, or is it to build up and exhort the brethren? It takes long to build up something, but so quickly to knock it down, to tear it down. Are you a Titus who came and encouraged the Apostle Paul in Macedonia? We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 4 through 6. Listen to the words of Paul. "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I'm filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more." See, Titus came with good tidings. He came with encouraging words to the Apostle Paul when he was being attacked and assaulted. Fears were from within and then attacks from without. And here comes this man, Titus, and he brings not only encouragement from his own heart, but he brings good tidings from the other church in Macedonia for the Apostle Paul, and went a long way in the ministry of the Apostle Paul and encouraged him when he was undoubtedly discouraged in the ministry. That's the kind of impact you can have, brother or sister, to another brother in the things of the Lord. We have to be so careful how we speak to one another. What we speak to one another is important, obviously, but it's how we say it. It's how we convey it. Is it from a spirit of encouragement and exhortation, or is it from a spirit of being critical and judgmental in a way that is not edifying to one another? So are you a Titus? Are you a Barnabas? Are you a Barnabas, whose name means the son of consolation or the son of encouragement? We read in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Then in later in Acts chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, Barnabas is mentioned again. "Listen, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." So we've seen two men that had tremendous impacts in the early church, Titus and Barnabas, and many more that I could refer to. But are we encouraging the brethren? Are we helping the brethren in their fight against the devil, the flesh, and the world? Are we helping the brethren rest in Christ? Brethren helping brethren rest in Christ is the message from Joshua chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. We help brethren rest in Christ by knowing our position in Christ, by fighting alongside our brethren, and by encouraging one another in the Lord. Maybe you are here today and you don't know what it is to rest in Christ from sin, from the world, and from the devil. Look to Jesus who died on the cross and made an atonement for sin. Maybe you're here today and you are a believer, but you're not resting in Christ. You're under attack from unbelief and spiritual wickedness. You feel weary in your soul. I would encourage you to rest in Christ and in His finished work on the cross. Let us pray. We thank You, Father, for this thought of brethren helping brethren rest in Christ. Oh Lord, we thank You for this passage here in Joshua chapter 1, how we see that these two half-tribes had such an important role in the overall picture of the success of Israel, how they were in a position of helping their brethren rest in the land. But we also see that there's a spiritual message in that, and that is that they were pictures of brethren helping brethren rest in Christ and encouraging them by fighting alongside them. Oh Lord, help us to be such encouragers. Help us to be like Titus and Barnabas, who were known in the church for exhorting the brethren. Lord, let us not be those who discourage and cast down one another, but help us to edify one another in the words that we say and in the attitudes that we express. Help us, Lord, to be more Christ-like. So, Father, help us tonight to enter into our rest. Help us to just not know with our heads, but know in our hearts what it is to rest in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You for each one who came out tonight to the Lord's house. I pray for a special blessing for them, and for those who could not come, we pray, Lord, that You will meet with them as they go throughout the week. We pray, Father, that You will protect us, encourage us, and help us, Lord, to know what it is to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless us now, Lord, and dismiss us with Thy blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.